Hello, this is Machine. You're listening to TCR.
Are you ready?
Hello, hello, and welcome. Welcome back to another edition of The Center Ring, a.k.a. TCR, a.k.a. your favorite esports podcast. Episode 60, coming to you live, pre-recorded from an undisclosed location. The date, May 24th, 2017. The time, 7:45 in the evening. I'll be one of your hosts for tonight. My name is Tim. You can follow me on Twitter at Pirate Mushroom. The gentleman across the table, my first mate, my rock, my knight, my lover. It's Brett. Hello, sir.
I missed you.
Welcome back.
Yeah, no, man. It's good to be back.
On a trip. We'll talk about that here in a second.
Yeah, following that DreamHack tour.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Yeah, that's totally what it was.
You were on business, work trip. No Anuj tonight because he is suffering what Brett was suffering from, which is why we haven't had a show in like 2 weeks because I'm the only one dedicated enough. But hey, can't do a show with one person. So that's okay because episode 60 will be the best episode yet. Not only is Brett back, not only is Anuj not here, so we don't have to deal with that. But it's just going to be a good show. We have lots of Overwatch to get to.
Yeah, I hope you like Overwatch.
Over the last 2-3 weeks, really, I feel like it's picked up steam where rumors and rebuttals and everything about the Overwatch League were coming up.
So it's it just seems like a dumpster fire.
Yeah, we'll get to that mess. Yeah. We'll end the show with e-news. Some fun stories to get to with that. But first, let's explain why we weren't here the last 2 weeks. And that is because, apparently, I was the only one that didn't get the memo that it was vacation time and international travel was the thing.
Yeah.
So you went to Paris.
Paris, yeah.
Following DreamHack, they were there.
Yeah.
Oddly enough, that was really weird timing that you just went to DreamHack Austin and then...
Linz didn't know that that was the reason I was there, but hey, you know what?
Did you see any signage for it?
No.
No? Nothing like... Austin, where you saw the truck driving around, or were you around the? I don't even know where it was in relationship.
Well, it was in a different city. It wasn't in Paris.
Oh, okay.
I think it was in Lyon.
It's all.
I think maybe I don't know.
It's all over there.
Yeah,
it's all
somewhere in that
France,
country.
Paris. It's all the same thing. It's just one big. I just assume it was just all in the same spot.
You just thought Europe was just a giant country.
And you got hit with the jet lag bug, huh?
Oh my
God. The NA jet lag excuse.
Jet lag and then upper respiratory. That combination of just awful, dude.
Which is somewhat where Anuj is right now. Anuj went to Italy.
Italy, yeah.
For like a week and a half. He was gone a long time. He got back yesterday afternoon and I think he honestly said when I was like, hey man, we're going to head up to go do the show. Are you going to go tonight? And he was like, I'm going to bed. And that was at like 6:30.
Yeah. And travel tip to all of our listeners out there. If you're going to one destination, 10 days is too much.
Is that how long you were gone?
Yeah, I was gone 10 days.
I guess you were.
Yeah.
Really? 10 days? See, I figured with international travel, that's kind of the sweet spot because the traveling takes a whole day.
Maybe like 2 days. 2 days too much, but it was a good vacation, except for that last day.
Do you have a newfound respect for professional esports players where they have to travel from country to country and then because remember Cloud9 said it before, but they've used the excuse before of jet lag where and everyone was like,
hey,
what a NA,
we're over here like
it's just NA, and everyone was like, whatever,
no,
man,
no,
take,
like
fall asleep on the plane.
Like what time is it? It is
at 7:48.
So it would be, you know, 2 o'clock in the morning there.
Do you still feel it a little bit?
I'm Yeah, even a little bit. I'm better now. Like my sleep is regulated, but yeah, it takes you at least 3 days to recover. It's no joke. That's probably why their schedules are just all screwed up. That's why Shroud is streaming until three a.m. in the morning.
Their schedules aren't normal people. You cannot be a normal person and run a normal life and be a professional gamer. That's been well known for a while.
Right.
But what hasn't been really well known, to none of our faults, is this Overwatch League that was announced last November, right?
Yeah.
2017.
No, it was
BlizzCon 2016. So yeah, around November, I think, is when BlizzCon 2016 was, where Blizzard announced the Overwatch League. Overwatch, as you might not be aware, is celebrating its yearly anniversary. It just started yesterday. Hard to believe that Overwatch has been out a year already.
Yeah.
It feels like it's been out for so much longer and yet not as long at the same time.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like I've been playing Overwatch for a lot longer than a year.
Right.
I mean, yes, I was in beta, so I guess include that, whatever.
Humble brag.
I was in the closed beta, but, you know, I was about the only person in closed beta that didn't make a pro team.
The only non-streamer that got a closed beta.
Hey, you know. That's what happens when you have an esports podcast with five listeners. Hey, you wanna play the game?
Yeah.
No, so, you know, fast forward, Overwatch came out in May of 2016. Fast forward to November, it's about 6 months. Blizzard announced, guess what, esports, we're coming and we're gonna come fast and furious.
Yeah. Even had like an NBA-esque logo.
Oh, they got Tracer on the logo. Oh, it looked so official and clean. You could tell they spent a lot of money on the presentation.
Yeah.
It was announced saying that cities were going to have franchises, which was huge.
Yeah.
Like, that was groundbreaking at the time, to where it was like, wow, like, this is not a normal thing where, so you're not just going to invite teams for this tournament. It's not a tournament. It's a league.
And at the time, without knowing the real logistics of it all, like, I was like, wow, nice. You know, it's
Blizzard. It's going to happen. Yeah, like, Blizzard, you know, is big. Without, they know people.
Yeah. You know, being attached to a city. Oh, man. You know, I'm hyped. I'm ready. Let's do this.
And you know what? You weren't the only one. Everybody was at that level of saying Overwatch is at its peak. It's 6 years old. But hey, why waste time? We don't need this years of treatment to try to build this up as a grassroots type of scene,
mm-hmm.
right? I feel like the idea of a grassroots type of game,
I think it's
a little old school way of thinking right now.
I think Counter-Strike's going to be the last of that.
It's 2017. Yeah. Esports is a thing, yeah. right? It's on TV. It's getting millions, yeah. billions of dollars in revenue and projected revenue.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like the days of a game coming out, well, think about it. A game coming out this year, but then all of a sudden really not blowing up until 5 years down the road.
No.
Not going to happen.
No.
I feel pretty confident to say that those days are done. The quote unquote true grassroots, play in your garage, that's where the scene was built type of atmosphere in esports and in gaming is going by the wayside, because it's been happening for a while where developers are trying to make games into esports, which, let's be honest, rarely turns out well.
Not every game deserves it.
No, and you, that's where you get a lot of clones, right? How many MOBAs are out there that just don't really do anything?
Maybe we'll be talking about Paladins in a month. Paladins?
Well, that's a good example, right? Paladins came out. It made a little blip on your radar, and then it's gone.
Totally its own game.
Right. And who is talking about that game? No one.
Nobody
is talking about it. But I don't see that game 5 years down the road picking up popularity. Right.
Maybe they should act now.
So for the listener to know, we're going to talk about the Overwatch League and talk about a lot about what's going on. I don't want to go full in detail and read everything and do that, because, to be honest, we're a little behind the curve. Mm-hmm. I know it's shocking that TCR is late on breaking news, but hey, it's what we do.
Hey, the last couple of last couple of months we've been pretty
We've been pretty disciplined. We let this one get by.
Yeah.
A good video, though, if you want to watch something, it's like 40 minutes long. It's really not that long in the realm of educating yourself on things. Richard Lewis on his YouTube channel talked about, I think it was like two videos ago, talked about...
I think he posted like just a couple of days ago.
Yeah, well, it's really not that old of a video. If you just go look, Richard Lewis on his YouTube posted a nice, for the most part, non-opinion video to inform you of what's going on. So I would highly recommend listening to that, but after you listen to us.
Yeah.
Or of course before, and then you listen to us. Just don't turn us off right now to go listen to it. That's my main point. But he made a point in there where it has to be a slow buildup, yeah, right? Where Blizzard is going a little too fast. Is that how you interpreted his point, right?
Yeah, he just says that esports isn't built just like with the snap of a finger.
Right. It's not, yeah. He used the phrase from the top. There's like an official word for it. You build it from the top.
Yeah.
And then you work your way down.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't work that way. And although I do agree that for the most part, that's not how things are built. But at the same time, I thought everyone was frustrated with Blizzard for taking too long.
Yeah.
Like the fact that this was announced in November, the Overwatch League, just till recently, when the fire started kind of getting underneath Blizzard's feet, we haven't heard anything on it.
Nothing.
None.
Radio
Nothing
silence.
On it. There were a few rumors floating around.
Yeah.
There was rumors that because the reason it's been so slow and dead is because the franchising tag or the franchising fee, mm-hmm, is ridiculous. Like for popular cities like LA, I would assume New York, Dallas.
Yeah.
They were asking for like $20 million.
Yeah, it was something ridiculous. Like they were pricing teams out.
Yes, which that kind of goes hand in hand with the other rumor that the more traditional esports franchises weren't being able to get into it.
Yeah,
because you're not going to have a team like Splice pay $20 million.
And you know, if you know everything that Richard Lewis says is true, I mean, $20 million is a hell of an investment to make up front to get no type of revenue share for 5 years.
Yeah.
Until 2021.
And we're not even talking about like some of these franchises we've talked in the past that are partnered and invested with big money.
Yeah.
Splice is Boston Bruins.
Yeah. And to get back to that point, in 5 years, what is Overwatch going to be in 5 years? What is any game going to be in 5 years? What are video games going to be in 5 years?
It's a very fast moving world of, yeah, esports. And look at Overwatch a year ago, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where the game and the community itself is still strong as ever.
Right.
You know, they're reporting record numbers in player base.
30 million.
30 million is what they're saying. At the same time, the competitive scene, you ask one player, hey, is Overwatch popular? Yes, it's probably the most popular shooter out there at the moment. Okay, well, what about the competitive scene? How do you feel waking up at 3 a.m. to watch a Korean tournament? Because if you like waking up at 3 a.m. to watch a Korean tournament, you're in luck.
Yeah, and I challenge to pretty much ask anybody, name me five pros in the NA scene. Name me five. Like, just go up to a random person.
Yeah, as a casual viewer.
Exactly. I mean, you go up and ask anybody, hey, name me two NRG pros.
No,
Seagull.
I can.
And, you know, it's, you know, most people in the Overwatch scene can, you know, name Seagull.
Yeah. He's, well, right.
Twitch streamer. But
I'm more so talking of getting those people outside the scene, right? Yeah. It's getting the people outside of Overwatch interested in the pro scene, which, to be honest, like, they do the monthly Melee, and that gets 20,000-30,000 viewers. It's there.
Yeah.
The attention is there for Overwatch. It's just through all of this year and buildup, you haven't had these DreamHack, for example, said it's too difficult to do an Overwatch tournament because Blizzard has to give them the rights and the licensing to do it.
Yeah.
Their IP is too restrictive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not like Counter-Strike where you can go in there and customize the files and make it completely open source for the most part.
Yeah.
You know, Blizzard's pretty strict with their stuff. And so these companies like DreamHack has said in an interview with PvP Live, it's just not worth it. You know, we can host our little tournaments for a bring your own computer area. But as far as hosting a pro tournament that's going to cost hundreds of thousands of dollars with a prize pool and everything, it's not worth it.
Mm-hmm.
And especially when you have pro teams dropping out, like just a couple weeks ago, in 1 week, you had like 5 or 6 teams drop out. I have the list here. Complexity, they dropped out. In their statement, they said, anticipation of Blizzard's upcoming Overwatch League and an uptick in the mainstream esports attention means that now more than ever, we have to be confident we're making the best investment in each game.
Yeah, that's telling me that they're not sure. Like, we don't know what it's going to do. We don't know what it's going to be. We have no idea.
You have TSM. They claim that the cost of an entry into Overwatch League is just too steep for TSM to go all in right now.
For one of the top NA teams and one of the most recognizable esports brands in the world they don't think it's a cost-effective entry for the league. That's a problem.
You have Red Reserve, which was quickly becoming one of the top EU teams. They ended up dropping their Overwatch League due to the remaining relatively small esports title in Europe. Just Overwatch is not that big in Europe compared to other games. So they are deciding to put their attention more towards Counter-Strike and League of Legends, things like that.
Yeah, I can really only think of a few, NiP and Fnatic.
Well, and then you had Envious, but they moved over Envious, here.
Yeah.
So we're, right. You know, yeah. However you want to include them in the mix.
Right.
And then you have teams like Denial and Splice, which again, Splice is one of those teams with big investors. You know, they're the ones who ended up dropping out. I believe Dignitas, I don't have them on the list. I believe Dignitas ended up dropping their Overwatch team. Dignitas, owned by the Philadelphia 76ers.
Yeah.
We're like, no, it doesn't make sense to pay you when there's no league. Like, half these Overwatch teams are literally doing one weekend tournament a month and getting paid full salary in some cases. So why would these organizations be like, yeah, we'll keep you around for what will eventually be this Blizzard League that we have to spend $20 million on? Or how about this? We just drop you.
Yeah.
And then if this tournament or if this league ever comes full, we'll call you guys back, because who's going to say no?
Right. And yeah,
I think one of the biggest hits too, and it wasn't even an organization, it wasn't even a team deciding to back out of the competitive scene in Overwatch. It was one player. And that was Siegel stepping down from NRG's active roster.
Yeah. He was like, well, I love this game. I want to dedicate my time, but we're not playing enough and we're not earning enough for it to even make sense. I make more streaming.
So he backed away from the active roster. So that's still a gray area. He's still on NRG, but he's more of a streamer.
He still streams for NRG, right.
But he said he makes more money streaming.
Yeah.
And it turned into a financial thing of like, look, I'm not quitting competitive Overwatch, but I can't also dedicate 8 hours of practicing a day. For what?
The evidence is damning. Like, there's too much out there for Blizzard to get to just skate by without, you know, blame.
And throughout all this going on, there was very, very little communication going on, right? I know Blizzard made a statement and I have some things I want to pull from it. One of the things, though, paraphrasing, is that they're like, no, we're communicating, but we're communicating to the proper parties, right? Whatever that means. Like, that's all fine. I get it, Blizzard. You need to probably speak with, you know, the New England Patriots and the Miami Dolphins are investors in this Overwatch League. So clearly they were talking to somebody they should talk to. And that's all fine. I understand you have your business contacts and that side you need to take care of. But you also have to understand, and Blizzard should understand this, esports and gaming in general, we have a very short attention span.
Oh my God. I don't play the same game multiple days in a row.
No.
I don't.
We don't. I switch it up. Everybody does.
Yeah.
And if you announce a league that is supposed to be this whole huge thing, and then it's almost, it's probably going to be a year until this even does. And again, I'm not saying you, I'm not saying announce this thing in November and by May, by today, it's we should have been happen. Completing. Yeah. I totally get that if you announce something, say, hey, by January of 2018, this is going to be a thing. We're going to take the year to build it. I totally get it taking right. this long. It's the communication that you yeah. don't put out anywhere. Right. You have a website and it still just says the same stuff it said from BlizzCon 2016.
Yeah. You know, the esports fan wants to know, the players want to know, the teams want to know that there's progress being made. Like you said, more to your point, we didn't expect this thing to just start in May.
And I don't think anyone with a brain did.
Yeah.
If you honestly thought they were doing the Overwatch League by June, then you probably had not realistic expectations.
Right.
But I don't think it's too much to ask for a little heads up.
Yeah, a little communication, like a little update on your website or something like that. Like, hey, you know, this is the progress that's being made and, you know,
this is kind of the format we're looking for on the season. Yeah. This is whatever, right? It's kind of like a developer's blog for an early access game on Kickstarter, right? I'm not asking for a whole lot, but just let me know you're working on it.
Yeah.
Keep me updated. You got to keep that carrot in front of me to make me want to keep wanting your game, your product.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying I need the league to like Overwatch because I love Overwatch. I'm saying I need Blizzard to inform me about the league to really care about the competitive scene. Because to be honest, the really only real competitive scene in Overwatch is the OGN, which is a Korean tournament that starts at like 2 a.m. in the morning. I'll catch the last tournament every day at 7 a.m. or I'll catch the last match when I go into work at 7 a.m.
Yeah.
And that's cool. But let's face it, it's difficult to keep up with when you have a normal life, when you have a normal paying 40-hour week job.
Yeah. And I don't like to watch, and maybe this is my own just irrational brain, but I will not watch replays. I don't like watching replays of sporting events. I don't like watching replays.
It
I
want
to
weird.
See something live.
Yeah, I think that maybe we're just weird like that. Maybe we're old school. I'm the same way. Even if it's a game that I don't know the results for,
yeah,
I'm just going to look at the results.
Yeah, like
I'm not going to go watch it.
Like there'll be a Manchester United game in the morning and we're going like grocery shopping or something like that. So let's just record the game. I'm like, no, I just won't watch it.
Right.
Because I don't want it. That moment has already happened. I don't want to watch it.
It's the excitement.
Yeah,
exactly. It's knowing that you and other people are getting involved, right? Yeah. You're not alone in that. So reading some of the things from the Blizzard statement, and then we can kind of pick apart this. So it says here, our ultimate goal is to create an exciting Overwatch esports ecosystem. Okay.
All right.
Again, yeah. I don't think anyone can argue that.
Yeah.
I understand that's your goal. The pinnacle of which will be the Overwatch League that's accessible to a wide audience, sustainable and rewarding for everyone involved. Okay, again. Okay. I can't argue. That's fine. And then again, to our point though, we don't release information until we're at a place where it makes sense to do so. It's been 6 months. At what point does it make sense to release anything?
When people start dropping out, Tim. Don't you know?
Yeah, right. When everyone basically thinks that we've completely failed on this Overwatch League, that's when we'll release information. It says here, the league is built upon the best elements of endemic esports programs and traditional sports, and we're in active discussions with many teams and owners from both worlds because it will take a village to stand up a league with such a unprecedented structure.
In contact, except for those, you know, those seven teams that just said that they're dropping out.
Right. We're not talking to those anymore, but we're going to talk to the Patriots and the Dolphins. We have those.
Yeah.
So great. Yeah, you're good. Six teams dropped and you have two, not actual teams, but just basically investors.
Mm.
So that's cool. Yeah. That's cool. To go back to Richard Lewis's point of, you know, you kind of have to build from the ground up, right? To be successful.
Right.
I agree with him. I don't think that's the only way to do it. I think if you go from the top to bottom, it can work. The issue is when you're building from the top, you can't build so much on the top that the legs break.
Yeah, I agree with, yeah, you have to have, you don't have to start from way here at the bottom
especially
to build the game up. But
you're Blizzard. You have the money to build up.
But you have to have teams.
Right.
You have to have that base at least.
And you have to have the teams that got you to want to do it in the first place.
Right.
Right?
Because then that just makes you look like a greedy money grabber.
You're telling me, Blizzard, and maybe this is true. Maybe this is the way Blizzard's thinking, and if it's so, shame on them, and the league deserves to fail. But maybe they were like, hey, let's start this league. Cloud9, Team Liquid, forget it. That's small money. We don't need them. Let's get the Patriots. Let's get the Dolphins. Let's get the Yankees involved. Let's get the big guys involved. And then we'll use it to buy the players out and things like that.
Mm.
That's not the way you should do it.
I'm right? hoping that's not.
And the fact
way.
That they're basically pricing out these quote unquote grassroots esports franchises, those are the ones that keep the league going, right? You, in the most respectful way possible, you need those bottom teams. You need the bottom feeders to support the infrastructure.
You need a little bit of familiarity with the community that knows esports to get that interest there, and then you get the other, you know.
I have watched more
viewers.
Vainglory games than I ever thought I would because Cloud9's playing,
right,
which
right.
Cloud9 did just win their championship.
Oh, well, congratulations, Tim.
I mean, you know, I'm a huge Vainglory fan. I've been there since the beta.
We've been talking about it for months.
Yeah, man, just go back and listen.
Yeah,
we've
right.
Broken it down. So that's what you need. You can build on the top, right? You can put everything on the top heavy, but you need that base. You need the support still.
Right.
And what's happening here is that they're building the top, but that support is crumbling away mm-hmm. by the weight of that dollar bill, of the $20 million it takes if you want to be taken serious here.
That you won't really see a profit for 5 years. But hey, it's coming. And it'll totally be here in, you know,
totally
2021.
Worth it. And even though the esports, like I said, esports community, where we have short attention spans,
mm-hmm.
but we don't forget. And we also don't like people stepping on our toes and telling us how to do our thing, right? We're esports, right? We don't have to be like traditional sports. We know what to do, almost to a fault, where I feel like esports always feels like they have to reinvent the wheel.
Yeah.
But at the same time, and I agree with people on this standpoint, it does kind of rub you the wrong way when, like, the Patriots, and I'm saying the Patriots a lot for the example. When I say Patriots,
you mean
big
Kraft,
money.
Yeah.
The outsiders.
Robert Kraft.
Right. The really outside rich investors come in and are basically outpricing the teams that I like seeing.
Yeah.
Right? I like complexity. I thought, you know, watching Red Reserve was really fun. I thought they were more or less kind of that upcoming EU team to watch. I enjoyed watching them. And to see them drop out is weird to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, while I'm speaking of this, did you see the announcement by the Splice owner? I know Richard Lewis brought it up in his video, so I had to go and watch it.
Right.
It is weird.
Oh, yeah. Richard Lewis talks about, like,
he's
a little narcissistic, but...
It's like he was on a walk in a park and just thought, you know what? This is a good time. Let me just record this.
Oh, I have to watch
that. As I say that my players are no longer on my team. It's like he's in the middle of the park and you can hear cars and birds. And it's just like, was this the best time? Like, what? You on your lunch break? Like, I don't understand. But the thing, too, here is when you look at, like, look at the Red Reserve management, right? Look at their owners. Look at half of these esports teams' owners. Half of, like, the ownership in esports are barely old enough to start growing facial hair. And yet here's Blizzard asking for $20 million. And even if that's on the high end, like, what's the cheapest city? It can't be that much cheaper. It's not like...
what's the price to have a team in New Orleans?
Yeah, that's like, right. That's like, even if you're not going to the major cities, like, think of, like, I don't know, like, Kansas City, right?
Yeah.
Or Jacksonville. I'm thinking of, like, sports cities that aren't really that big. Phoenix.
Well, shots fired at Jacksonville.
Okay. Well, I think I would care if anyone was in Jacksonville.
Yeah.
don't come at me, Jacksonville, saying you're a sports city. But like, what would those price tags be? They can't be that much smaller than $20 million just as a logistics standpoint, right? You can't like outprice it so much to where people are like, no, why would I buy an LA franchise if Jacksonville is $7 million?
And right. Who's going to actually go to the arena and watch? I mean, most of the viewership is going to be online, right?
Yeah. So the majority of it, I would imagine for the longest time. Like, it's going to be a long time before we see. I know we can do the one-off tournaments and fill up esports stadiums and things like that.
Yeah.
But it's good, you know, it's going to be a long time to where you can consistently get that stadium filled, I think. Maybe I'm completely wrong on that, but I mean, how many Rangers games do you go to a year?
Maybe one or two.
Exactly. So eventually that would die off. Now, in what was a little confusing fashion, did you see what Blizzard announced? I think it was yesterday or the other day. The Contender League. Did you see this?
No.
In a bit confusing fashion, with all this going on, right? Nothing being spoken of. And I understand it's the 1 year anniversary, so maybe we were just a tad impatient and Blizzard had this at the ready all the time. But they announced a Contender Development League where basically anyone can join. In fact, Siegel is doing it.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. He's kind of, well, it's on his stream kind of been rumored that he's going to start a developmental team for this league. It's Blizzard sponsored, everything there. There's prize pools. It's between NA and EU. NA has $50,000 prize pool. EU has it. So this is, they're starting season zero is what they're calling it. Anyone can do it. If you qualify and you get through season zero, you'll be invited to season one, which has $100,000 prize pool on it. Okay. It's not directly tied to the Overwatch League. At least it hasn't been officially worked that way. Mm-hmm. In this, they say, with organizations looking to fill the rosters for the launch of the Overwatch League, all eyes will be watching this summer competitive showcase. So it's not that it's directly linked to it, but it's almost like
is this like
it's like
their,
is
it like their draft combine? Like
kind
a,
of, yeah. Like, yeah, that would be like, a good, it's almost like you're showing off the talent, right? It's to pick your talent out.
Okay.
It's to pick that 75,000 that they claim is a professional level.
That is a farce. It's a lie. There's not that many competitive level players out there.
Maybe that would be like if the MLB and they were including like AAA, like all the way down. It's like if you're AAA minor leaguer and you're like, yeah, I was a pro. Like, were you? So that's something that that Blizzard announced. Again, it means they're thinking on it,
mm-hmm.
right? It's not like they've just been sitting on this competitive idea for esports, but at the same time, it's just weird that it took them so long to announce it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know when it's starting. It says kicking off in summer of 2017. So even then, that's only like a month away. So why are you now just announcing it?
So we're looking more like winter.
Yeah. Yeah. By their standards, it should be right up there for next year. I don't know. I wanted to speak of this with the discussion of who's to blame. Is it fair to completely look at Blizzard and be like, you kind of dropped the ball on this?
Well, I mean,
Have they dropped the ball? Is it too early to really say that? I mean, because realistically, this league could be a huge success.
I don't think you can say drop the ball, but you've successfully ticked people off.
Fair enough. I mean,
I would still watch it.
I will still watch it because I have that taste for like a competitive pro Overwatch scene to truly follow.
There's nothing more exciting than watching a competitive Overwatch, like just the skill level. It's amazing to watch.
And to a fault, I mean, we even host an esports podcast, and it's hard for me to care about competitive Overwatch, knowing that it's basically all temporary until this league starts.
Yeah.
I mean, it is. It's. And speaking of this developmental league, no one really knows how OGN is going to be affected, because this is so far just NA and EU. Okay, so what about all the Koreans? Like, it's huge over there. Are we just kind of going to have them off and do their own thing. And then we'll meet somewhere in the middle.
I mean, yeah, it kind of works. I mean, like the two biggest baseball leagues, you have MLB and then you have Japanese baseball. Like, those are the two biggest, and both have, you know, really good fan followings. Both of them have really good revenue, but it could work where there could be two different leagues or.
I agree. I think it might be a little easier too, because it almost seems like Blizzard has been giving OGN a lot more leeway, considering OGN is the only real tournament organizer that's latched on to competitive Overwatch.
Tell them they can't have their league.
So, I don't know. To put this topic to rest for now, obviously it's something that we have to keep a close eye on, but at the same time, you really don't have to, because it's so slow moving. You could probably check back in a month and maybe one more team drops off, and we'll go from there.
How about this, Blizzard? Learn from your mistake. Keep us informed.
That's all we ask.
Yeah.
Is keep us informed, which is why we will keep you informed. With E-News, our showly segment of, I don't want to say not important stories, but just stories that we just don't have the time to get fully invested in. Story number one. We'll start with CSGO because there's a lot more there. Virtus Pro. I really wanted to talk more about this. We'll talk about it more on our next episode because we are doing, I guess I should have said this at the start. We are doing two episodes this week, people. We are, because we took an extra week off than what we were planning. So we're going to knock out two episodes this week. Friday, we are going to do the full ESL Pro League season final review for ESL Dallas, which we will be at, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
So we're going to talk more about VP and their struggles in that episode, I'm sure, because Anuj has opinions on it, and me and him were getting in on it in our little show chat. But Virtus Pro has been officially relegated from the ESL Pro League and into ESL Premier League.
Until they're not.
Again.
Until they're not, right?
Penta beat them again. They only picked up 9 out of the possible 26 wins over the course of the season. Ooh. And that is a team that has an instant invite because they're legend status for majors. And they just could care less. They couldn't care less about online play. And I get that. I get, like, if people are like, yeah, but Tim, they don't care. So who cares? They don't care about it. I care. It's a tournament.
You should have that competitive drive. I want to win every game I play.
Guess what? They missed out of a chance to go to Dallas and win $225,000 or whatever the first place money is for Dallas. So I'm pretty sure they should care.
Yeah.
But to just spit in the face again to ESL is, it's insulting. And I swear to God, if there's some bogus rule made up to let them back in the league, I might just quit watching.
No, you won't. But you can be angry.
I'm angry at them.
Yeah.
Virtus Pro, a team that like I never thought you could find a reason to be angry at. I'm angry at them for not caring.
Yeah.
And I know Pasha will tweet out saying like, man, we're just in a rough spot. No, you don't care. That's your rough spot, is you don't care.
I'm in the rough spot. My team cares. They just can't win.
Right, yeah. Speaking of your team, Pith is officially, finally relieved of his duties being on NIP.
Good for him.
His contract has expired. They agreed to go separate ways.
I wish him the best. Like, he's not a tier one player, but he's a good player. And I follow him on Twitter, and he just sounds so depressed.
Could you see him on like a team like Heroic? I know they have a roster spot open.
Yeah, I could see Heroic or maybe an NA team if he wants to move.
Maybe.
He kind of seems like a homebody, though.
That seems harder and harder to do for whatever. It seems like such a hit and miss on what player you're trying to do it with.
Right.
And even then, if it's not successful, like in the first three tournaments, then it's basically just, okay, when are you going to go home?
Yep.
Immortals bench FNX. This is the third time that he's been basically kicked off a team, and this is why they said on their statement on Facebook, one of the biggest problems we faced are internal issues that unfortunately affected in-game performance. Which was like word for word the reason he was kicked off of SK.
That's what I was going to say. Like, at one point, there will be a common denominator. And guess what? You're that common denominator. So...
It's tough, pal. Tough. Yeah. Immortals did say that they're willing to either sell or trade. Again, what the market's pretty tight for Brazilian teams, and he's not going back to SK.
Yeah.
He's off of Immortals. Do you think a non-Brazilian team's going to pick him up?
There's some Brazilians on LG, right?
That's basically...
That's right.
To go back to Luminosity with their new set of roster. But our team's going to want... I mean, they'll want him because he's good, but this is... You have now turned it into a pattern. You know, you've turned what was rumors into pattern, which is never a good thing. E-League this Friday. We haven't really talked about this as much as I wanted to, but it's just our schedule. Street Fighter 5 in E-League, their playoffs start this Friday. So check that out. I think it starts on Twitch at 5 p.m. Eastern. So it's always on at 10 o'clock on TBS.
Yeah.
Always watch it on both. Yeah. Right? Always. I know some people are anti-esports on TV. Why? Just turn it on both.
Yeah.
You savage. Just put it on your TV. What's the big deal?
Yeah.
And then to end E-News on a funny... Or maybe I should call it E-Nudes.
Ooh.
Oh, in League of Legends. Oh, you don't hear that very often on this show. Listen, I don't know a thing about League of Legends. You could have a gun to my head right now and say, name one hero, and I'd be like, pull the trigger, dude. Just let's end this now. Pull the trigger. Never played League of Legends in my life. European League of Legends caster Crepo stepped down from casting the mid-season Invitational after nude photos of him leaked on the internet.
That's why I tell my nephew or any young person, look, the internet isn't... screenshots last forever. You can delete that all you want. Listen, it is there.
Apparently it was on Snapchat from what I read. He sent a peen pic to a female counterpart. He tweeted out saying, hey, yeah, I'm going to own up to it. It was me. What do you do? You know, just saying apologize. I sent it to someone who I thought I trusted. Ladies, if you like it, hit me up. No, he didn't say that. That's what I would do. Yeah. Just own up to it.
Yeah.
Right. Because, hey, 2017, who hasn't showed almost had to beat myself out there. Who hasn't shown a peen pic to a female? Just don't, you know, it's whatever, yeah. Bro.
To be fair, when
Brett Favre did it. I know, in good company.
But, yeah. But when back in my day, we could do that. And it not just be blasted all over the place.
No, this is true. If you're going to do it, maybe really know the girl.
Yeah, exactly.
And apparently, she called him out on Twitter saying, respond to me right now or pictures will be released. And he didn't respond. Pictures were released.
Have you seen it?
You know, don't think less of me when I say this. I tried really hard to look for them. Almost to the point while I was looking for this gentleman's penis, I was like, what are you doing with your life, Tim? Why is it that you're so infatuated in seeing this guy's leaked junk that was put on the internet? And then I was like, I'm a reporter, damn it. And I need to do this for the show.
You have a job to do, damn
it. I need to report the news.
The nudes.
I will find this man's penis. If it's the last thing I do. It was weird that I looked so hard for one man's penis, but alas, that thing is off the internet. If you have it, let me know. I'm interested. I'm in.
Tweet it. Tweet it at Dallas Homer, right?
Yeah. Tweet it at Spiffy VR.
At Spiffy VR.
At Spiffy VR.
At Spiffy underscore VR.
At Spiffy underscore VR, all your dick pics. How about that? Any dick pic you find, give it to Spiffy underscore VR. I'm invested at this point. I want to see his penis. Sue me. On that note, let's end the show.
I wish we could end every show like that.
Oddly enough, it's not the first time we've ended the show talking about penis pictures.
Make it a staple.
I don't know what we were talking about the last time, but I definitely know it's been brought up before where I said send the Twitter pictures of penises. I don't know why. It's what we do. Anyways, episode 60 in the books. I want to thank you all for listening. It's very Overwatch intense. Let us know your opinion on what you think is happening with the Overwatch League. Is it Blizzard's fault? Are you still interested in it? That's something you can let us know on Twitter at The Center Ring. Also on our Discord. The link for that is on the Twitter. If it's expired, let me know. I can get you a new link. It's not supposed to expire, but...
Discord be Discord, man.
Yeah, whatever. Hit me up if you need it. Our website, tcr.gg, that will have all the latest episodes in audio form. You can also get it on iTunes, Stitches, just about any podcast thing out there. You can get out-of-date episodes on YouTube. That's always fun. Or so I hear. Find me on Twitter at Pirate Mushroom. Brett is at Dallas Homer. One word. We'll be back in like a couple days. I'm going to post this episode when I get home. In Friday, though, we are going to do a big ESL Dallas final preview. It's been a long time, I think really since the major, since we really get down and dirty with CSGO. And I'm ready to get down and dirty with it. And I hope you are too. Anyways, until then, follow us on Twitter at The Center Ring. Like, retweet, share the show. We love you. And we'll see you next time.